Okay, take three. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Ches. We're holding on the Mishnah Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beit. It is the 17th day of the Omer Tavshin Samach Tet, and it's almost the end of Masechet Bava Kama, 10th parak. Akozel Machil, and we're here with some of our most wonderful Choberg representatives. Come all the way over just to end this Masechet with us, and here we are at the Helik Mishnah. This, of course, is the closing words of the previous Mishnah, which began with the idea of Agozel Sadeh Michaviro. It spoke about what happens if someone from the government or from the mafia takes away the field. And then it goes along to say, and if the field were now overrun, flooded by a river, he could still say to the guy, look, Arishal Chalafanecha, here is your field, it's not my problem. Now, of course, that is based on the yesod that karka is not really nigzelet. Somebody walk away with karka. So because of that, it's always harishal chalafanecha. Any shinui in the karka is irrelevant because the rishus of the bayamin was always on the karka. But we'll see that actually this is a machloket. Turn around. Hagozel sadeh michaviro v'shatfa nahar chayav lamid lo sadeh acher divir elazar. So Rabbi Elazar argues on the Mishnah in the Braita here. And he says that if you steal a field and something happens and gets flooded, you're going to have to give him a replacement field. Which is the Das in the Mishnah. So clearly they're arguing about whether Karka is Nigzalet or not. But my Kamifliya, what is the roots of this Machlokas? It's a question of how to darshan the Pasuk that deals with the din of Shvua on Kiras Moma. And it mentions over there in the Pasuk a Pikadon or a Gezel. So it says, Nefesh ki techata mu'alom o ba'ashem v'kichash ba'amito b'pikadon, o b'tzumet yad, o b'gazel, o mikol asher yishava. So we have over there what appears to be a klal prat uklal, but you'll remember that there were two very fundamentally different approaches in Haradarshan Kolat Tarekula that we spoke about at great length. One is klal prat uklal, where the result is that everything that is doime to the prat, the Torah is being marve, and the other is ribui miut ribui. Ribui miut ribui does not see things as a holistic issue in which we attempt to see what the common denominator is, but rather it's marve everything except for that which is least likely to be included because it's completely different than the example the Torah gives. And this boils down to the machlokas here. Rabbi Elazar, who says that karka is nigzelet, he learns that parsha is ribui miut ribui. So he darish ribui miut in general. So here's how it would apply to this pasuk. V'kichesh ba'amito. Okay, so now he denies that he's got the other guy's thing. Now that's a ribui. Doesn't matter what the object was. And then the Torah mentions a pikadon. Now that's a miut. Then it says, again, at the end, O mikola sheyishaval av l'sheker, anything at all, that's a ribui. The rule is that riba miat riba actually is riba hakol, and so what was now nitrab them my rabbi komilin. Anything that can be stolen is considered to be included in this parsha, and yet it does say pikadon. So my miat shtarot, a shtar, a bond has no intrinsic value at all. So therefore, it's coming to tell me what it is that you're going to have to deal with as a gezeler, or a kakosha, is only on something that has intrinsic value. A bond is a piece of paper, so it doesn't have the intrinsic value of the amount written in it, and therefore it's not included, but karka certainly has intrinsic value, and there's no additional miyat to be mamayat karka. So therefore he says, if you stole karka, then if something happens to it, you have to replace it. You can't say, arishalcha lifanecha. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, they're derish kaliu prata. So here's how they would read that pasuk. Bikichesh, anything. That's a klal. Bipikadon is a prat. Omikol is now another klal. Chazarvi kalal. So we have a klal prat of klal. The rule is, yatadan elake ena prat. Now what is a pikadon? A pikadon is something that is movable and it has intrinsic value. So ma prat davar mitatel v'gufo mamon. Avko davar mitatel v'gufo mamon. Karka or real estate obviously are not movable. So yotzu karka or chein metatelin, and avodim are given a legal status of karka. So they too are included now in the exclusion. Yotzu avodim shukshula karka, and of course shtarot, which have no intrinsic value, are also excluded because even though avapish metatelin ein gufan mamon. Now Harbi Tanya goes, that's a para. But that doesn't explain the following, does it? There's also a braita that says, if someone stole a para and it was washed away by a river, chayav la'amid lo para, divrei Rabbi Elazar, v'chachamim omrim, omer la'resha chalafanecha. Now, I mean, it sounds like exactly the same machlokas, but clearly a para is not karkaot, nor is it huksha l'karkaot. The same machlokas here applies to para. What are they arguing over there? Ah, says the Gemara, you don't understand the case. But Micah, I'm forgetting. Omer Fabana, the case over there was that someone stole karka, but there was a para on the karka. So now the shaila is, if karka is an exelet, so then he's kind of the para, because now he's kind of the metatalim together with the karka. If you're kind of karka, you can be kind of metatalim with the karka. So according to Rabbi Elazar, that you're kone karka when you steal it, so you're kone the para. Therefore, you have lamid lo para karka. But according to Rabbanan, you never stole the karka. How are you kone the para? So therefore, we're talking about Achmai Eskinan, Gagon Shigazal Sademi Chavero, Vaita Para, Yevutzabo. So now the Gaza never touched the para. The only thing is that it's being nicknamed together with the karka. So if he was goes of the karka, when Kravlozi was goes of the para too. And therefore he has to pay it. Because in general, you're always kind of agav. It's often a kind of agav karka. According to Rabbanan, you weren't kind of the sodas. How are you kind of the para? Therefore, we're just pointing out very cutely in this braita that the machloket in the Mishnah here, regarding the statement of the Mishnah about the soda, which turns out to be a machloket in the braita, Shun Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, actually can easily extend to Metatlin as well, but of course, for a different reason. Continues the Eilat Mishnah. Hagozelet chaveiro, hoshiil vaymen, hoshiif kidlo, biyishuv. If someone steals something from someone, or he borrowed money from somebody, or that person gave him something to watch, and this took place in a settled area, and now he's in a wilderness, well, his teeth are chattering, you see. He doesn't want to keep all this cash on him. So he figures, heck, if we're going to get waylaid, it's easier for me to pay the other guy now while I still have the money. So now's a great time to give it back. Gee, I'm terribly sorry, but here's the money I borrowed from you, or here's the money I stole from you, whatever the case may be. So as our parak is discussing the issues of the dispensation of that which was stolen and that you have to return, what's considered to be a proper hashava, it is not a proper hashava to be yagzilo bamidbar. If you're in a dangerous area, you can't give it back to him. If you told him at the time that you made the loan, you took the loan, you said, I'm not, let's take by midbar, take this conditionally that I can take it out to the midbar and return it to him. So then Yahzilam midbar, which the Gemara was about, it's rather obvious, isn't it? I mean, any size of a moment helps, so what could the Mishnah be teaching? But first, let's take a look at a contradiction. Ramiya. Milva Mishtalamit b'chol makom. You owe a guy money, you can pay him anywhere, which is mashma, even in Harlem. So.
It's over.
No, I was waiting for that. Safest place in the world. It's amazing how they believe this stuff. It's like people say in Joburg about how they live in Israel. You know, checking packages and the policemen and Uzi submachine guns all over the place. It's like living in the middle of a war zone.
Shopping center.
I don't like that. That's freedom. Okay. So now, how do you explain that? You can pay back a milva anywhere, because our mission says it can't. Aveidau pikadon. As long as you found him, another guy that you asked to take care of that, ein mishtame elabin mikoman. How do you explain the mission that says a loan also is included in something that needs proper hashava? In town, omra bayachikomar. And no, that's not the case. It says mishtalemet doesn't mean to pay him. It means you can be toveya it. You can demand your money if you're the lender. Since even if a guy's on a trip, he still has to have money with him. So then you could say, I need some money and I lent you $100. Give me back $100. But if you gave him something to watch for you, asked him to take care of your wallet, now he's in the wilderness, you say, I need $100 for my money. Bring your wallet along in the wilderness, you cannot be toveya it. And therefore, all it's saying is that milva needs not litava b'chomakom. Aveidau pikadon lo nitu litava ela b'bikoman. Then the Mishnah says, if you make a condition that you want to pay him back even in the wilderness, you can. Isn't that obvious? It doesn't mean that he literally made a condition. The Mishnah is referring to a case where a guy says, do me a favor, take care of my wallet, because I have to go out of town. I'm going to be traveling through Harlem. So he tells him, I'm going out to Harlem. I don't want to be carrying a wallet. The Clintons might find me. So the guy says, oh, he says, well, that's interesting because I'm also going to be in Harlem next week. So Anna, he says, Anna Lamidbar Nami, but you know, Mefik, I'm planning on going there too. So maybe I'll meet you there. Ibahina Ladrina Lachatam. You know, if we meet, I can give it back to you over there. So the Kiddush of the Mishnah is even obvious, it's not a condition, it's sort of a passing comment. But that's sufficient to be Madrin Allah. He's saying, I want to give it back to you. Then on that basis, we view it almost the same as if you made it fairish conditionally. Continues the Mishnah. Omer lech aveiro. I shouldn't say continues because this is really a new issue. Omer lech aveiro gizalticha. The guy says to a friend, you know, I once pickpocketed your wallet. You once lent me money. You once asked me to keep your wallet, and I don't remember if I did pay you back. But I'm not sure if I paid you back or not. Now, question as to whether the other guy knows something about this is going to be discussed in the Gemara. Right now, the Mishnah is very vague as to the other person's position on this. But this guy is coming along, and he's claiming that he knows that at one point I definitely owed you money. Exactly. I once owed you money. It's interesting, but that's the way the Gemara is going to come out. I owed you money. I'm not sure if I paid you back. Chayav l'shalim. He has to pay him back. Aval, Imam Marlov, he tells him, I'm not sure if I ever stole money from you. Got everybody else in the class, but... Or I'm not sure if I ever borrowed money from you. Or I'm not sure if you ever asked me to watch something for you at all. So then he's potter m'lishalim. So now, obviously, this doesn't seem to make much sense until we see the context of the other person. Is he being tovei or not? In order to get into that, the Gemara is going to come about it sort of obliquely by first bringing a machloket, which then we're going to try to bring a riot to from the Mishnah, in the context of which will be masber the Mishnah. It's very common in the Gemara. It's about mana libi adecha. A guy goes over somebody and says, you owe me $100. Mahala omer, and you're the I don't know. I don't remember. So Ravuna v'Yudom or Chayam, since he's saying he doesn't know, so it's Bori v'Shema. So in that case, he has no position on the matter. Somebody says, I do know. So he should pay. Whereas Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan say, Potter. So Ravuna v'Yudom say Chayav because they hold Bori v'Shema, Bori Adif. If you have no response to somebody else's clear knowledge, then we follow the clear knowledge. Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan say, well, that's not enough to take money away from somebody. Potter, uki mamone becheskat mare. You want to be motzi mama? We need to have a riot. So therefore, you get to keep the money. Now, let us look at our Mishnah and try to figure out whether we could bring a riot as to what the situation would be in this case. It says in the Mishnah, aval imamarlo eni yodea imil vitani. He says to someone, I don't know whether I ever took that loan. Then he's potter. Now, what's the case? A guy just walks over to somebody in the blue and says, you know, I might have taken a loan with you someday. Really? Yeah, you know, but I'm not sure. Oh, is that the case? They're saying you don't have to pay him back. I mean, say he don't. So what he's talking about, out of the blue he walks over to a guy, I might have borrowed money from you. Let's say that that's the case. But then the same case, of course, would have to be across the board in the Mishnah. The Mishnah's bringing us parallels, cases, with the only change being the point that the Mishnah mentions. Okay. So then, Reishanami Deloka Tavale. That would mean that there is nobody asking for this money. You're coming along and saying, I borrowed money, but I'm not sure if I paid you. So then I understand. I mean, so why in the world, if Deloka Tavale, am I Chayav? Nobody's asking for money. Well, whoever heard of such a thing that you're paying money to somebody who is not asking for the money? So why would you be chayav? I mean, how do you use the word chayav? Ella, it's got to be that it's talking about the katabalai. The mission's got to be talking about that somebody is suing, and you're responding, I don't know. I did borrow that money. I don't know if I gave it back or not. That's got to be the case. So it depends. If you say, I'm not sure I gave it back, then it's one thing. If you say, I don't remember the whole thing, then it's another thing. So what would the implications be? Katani Seifa, that if you say, I don't know, then Beferish, it says over there, Patur Mila Shalei. And so how in the world does Ravuna review to argue on the Mishnah? And they say, you're Chayev if somebody is to value you because of Bori V'Shema. No, you're right. They'll have to understand the Mishnah. Is that Leolam Deloka Tavale? The truth is, nobody is a Bari. That's what they'll have to say. So you'll say, so why in the world could it say in the Mishnah, if there's nobody asking for the money, how could you say you're Chayev to return money that nobody asked for? What's the Chiyav? It's talking about Erev Yom Kippur. He's Baal Atzis Yidei Shamayim. It means that if you want to be Yotzei, we saw different dargas. We had earlier the machloikis with Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi, about what is your chiyav klapei shamayim in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of hashavah. Has that mitzvah per se? Here too, there's a question about whether to return money in order to be yotze a yedei shamayim. We can use the word chayav. Once you're willing to accept upon yourself those chiyuvim, so if you want to be yotze yedei shamayim, that's the only way to do it. You can't make a deal with God. I'll pay 50%. God, what do you say? You take half, I take half, and we'll be, you know, even, Stephen. That doesn't work like that. So you want to be yotzei yedei shamayim, you have to pay. And that's what it's talking about. And in fact, itmar nami, omre chiyah baraba, omre biyokana. That actually, it's interesting, Rabbi Yochanan himself brings this. That ha omre lechavero manali biyadecha. Somebody says, you owe me money. Vahala omre ini adeha. I don't know anything about it. He would be chayiv if he's balat set yedei shamayim. The whole discussion that we had here, where I'm saying you're not chayiv, that I'm not talking about being yotzei yedei shamayim. There ain't no chinam. We're talking about in court. Fine, there's no chiyuv. Continues now the Mishnah about hashava. We've been talking about how you have to get it back to the Balaam. What we haven't spoken about is the level of the Balaam's knowledge of the return. Sometimes it can be very embarrassing to return something to somebody. He doesn't know you stole it from him in the first place. So there might often be a case where you try to return something to somebody without his knowing about it. He doesn't even know that it was stolen. Or even he knows that it was stolen, he doesn't know that you returned it. Is that considered to be an act of hashava or not? So now begins the Hilik Mishnah to discuss that issue. Somebody steals now a sheep from a flock. There's so many sheep there. And he puts it back via Hazira. And now it was mate. It dies. Or nignav. Or it was stolen. The ganev is chayev in the achrayut for that thing, because the moment that he stole it, he is now chayev to be meishin, to do the act of hashava. And unless the owner knows that there was hashava, that's not called hashava veishiv etakzela. We're going to see more in the Gemara about what precisely the case is. Is the owner aware of the fact that there's an extra sheep? Was he aware of the fact that there was a ganeva at all? Does he not even know about the ganeva? Or does he know about the ganeva but not realize it was hashava? We'll see that there's actually four different approaches about the din in these cases. Now, how about, and again, the way the Mishnah is constructed, it seems to be saying, lo yadu ba'alim lo b'gnevato v'lo b'chazirato. Now, if, however, that's what it sounds to be, but we'll see that there's three other approaches. If the Balaam did not even know that it was stolen in the first place, and he didn't know that anybody had sent, put anything back in, and he counts his sheep, man, it's the count he was expecting. So, umanu etatzon ushlemai. Turns out he's got the number of tzon that he expected. Then that's considered to be a proper chazara. He's potter. The god of at that point becomes potter if anything happens to that tzon. Which implies that in the first case, where it doesn't say lo yadu bali, that's talking about that he knew that maybe even counting wouldn't help there, because you didn't tell him. Okay, so now we've got to see the approaches to the mission. We're going to find four sheets. Amar Rav. The klal is like this. Ladat, once something was stolen, and the Baalim is aware, Ladat, he has a knowledge and awareness of the fact that one of the sheep was missing. Tzorich dat. Then in order for you to be Mekayim, a Hashavas HaGezela correctly, you have to address the da'at that was affected by the gezela. The man knows he was robbed, he has to be told, here is what was taken. And that's the only hashava. But shalola da'at, if he never knew, he has to know that it's there, but minyan pater. If he counts it, then he knows that it's there. So that level of da'at is all that you need. You took away the lack. In other words, he made an assumption, and it was a wrong assumption. He thought he had a flock there, which he didn't. So what you need to do now is only to reboot, so to speak. He's got to count again, know that it's there, and now it's back the way it was. He doesn't have to know that it was missing. But the way to address the state in which it was missing was actually a now crash of his knowledge. So whatever knowledge was there from before is gone. So we reboot it. How do you reboot? By recounting. So the moment he recounts, now everything is addressed. So how do we read the Mishnah? The last words, umanu atatzon ushlemahi, is only referring to the seifa, which is exactly the way we thought. It's a simple way of reading the Mishnah. If you were going iftle, and you just put it back without telling him, so then it's not considered to be hashava. But if the owner never found out that it was stolen in the first place, and he counted, then it's okay. Because you now put things back to the way they were. Exactly how Rav learns the Mishnah. Shmuel says no. That's a wrong reading of the Mishnah. The truth is that whether it's Ladat or whether it's Shalol Ladat, minyan is poter. Once you count it and you reboot, you now know what you have, and therefore that's a chazara. Whether you address the problem of his original awareness that it was missing or not, that's not part of the din of hashava. He now knows he has it. He's walking around scratching his head. What? How did I get? It was missing. How did I get back? That's irrelevant. Fact is, things are back to the way they were. And therefore, minyan would be poter. The way to read the Mishnah is that the closing words, umanu atatzon vishleimahi, that your poter is referring to both the resha and the seifa. So that's the point. So what the Mishnah is saying, hagodev tlez, the first case is talking about virziro umeit, that's referring to the case where the owner knew. And there, indeed, there's a big problem because you need to return it. But for that matter, if the Balin didn't know, even about the Geneva, continues the Mishnah, that's also, you would be chayev, unless there was a minyan, and that minyan is referring to both of these cases. So whether now he knew or whether he didn't know, the minyan is a return. Second approach. Third approach. Rabbi Yochanan, actually, ladat. Minyan poter. Shalolodat afilu minyan amilo tzarich. I say, the man never knew it was missing. He doesn't need to know it was returned. So you don't even need the reboot. Why do you need the reboot? Basically, when the man is making a subconscious assumption, that has nothing to do with the geneva. Who cares if it was wrong or right? Bottom line is, the moment that he seeks to get his sheep, it's there. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, it was never stolen when you returned it. So if he never knew about it, you don't need anything. You don't need the minyan. The only time that the Mishnah is referring to the minyan is, again, counterintuitively in the way you read the Mishnah, but it's referring only to the case where the Balaam knew it was stolen. Then he has to know it was returned. Either obviously you could tell him, but if he counts it and you didn't tell him, that is also perfectly okay. So what the Mishnah is saying is, Hagonev tle mina eder, meaning he knows about it. Vigziro, chayav achrayutan, where there was no counting. But, reads Rav Yochanan, but, if lo yadu abalim in the Geneva or in the Chazar, or if they were manu et atzon when they did know about it, that's how he's reading it. So it's not and, it's or. So in other words, there's two ways in which it would be Mekayim Chazor. Either the first case, if he knew about it, then it's not considered to be Chazor, just to put it back. If he didn't know about it, then putting it back is a perfectly good Chazor. But even if he did know about it, once he's Mona, that's sufficient. That's a completely different approach in the mission. You're looking confused.
Yeah, because I really see a difference between the other guy was only counting it because he wanted to make sure that it was there.
It doesn't matter. But if you didn't count it, what if it didn't count it?
It was a bit weird. Like, people saying
you didn't count it, and it was stolen. You have to pay or not? If he never knew, wouldn't be chayav to pay. If he knew, you'd be chayav to pay. Because he knew Hashava. If he counted it after you returned it, then you wouldn't be chayav to pay. Then he knows to watch.
Even if he didn't know.
Right.
But if
he didn't know what? Didn't know what?
If it was stolen.
No, then you don't need to count it.
According to the first approach, if he didn't know that you had stolen it, right. Then you return it. Right. You've got to make him count it.
He didn't know that you stole it.
Didn't know that you stole it.
Right. According to Rabbi Yochanan. Not according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Shmuel. Yeah, so you have to count it.
You have to make him count it.
Yeah.
You go in there and say, count it.
Yeah, what do you mean, make it count it? If he counted it, generally, at the end of the day, he counts it.
And Rabbi Yochanan says, he doesn't have to count it. You take it, put it back, there's no difference.
Right. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if something happened before he got to the count of the day, the ganav would still be put if he never knew it was missing. That's an afternoon. The fourth approach is totally counterintuitive. The fourth approach is really weird, and that's Reb Chista. Reb Chista says it's actually the exact opposite of the way you guys are looking at it. It's worse when it's shalolodas. If it's ladat, then it's enough that he counted it and he knows it's back. But if he never knew it was stolen, you got to tell him it was stolen. Boing. Now, how in the world does that fit? We'll get to trying to figure out what sense that makes, but assuming that it's true, how in the world does that fit into the Mishnah? So you got to read the Mishnah like this. If you went ahead, you're chayev b'achrayut, whether you did count it, whether you didn't count. That's what the first statement of the Mishnah is. When is that true, however? Only if the Balaam did not know that it was stolen in the first place. Okay, but if in the case where they did know, which was the opening of the Mishnah, they were manu et atzon, then they'd be pot. So in other words, the first two cases you're talking about, ichzir of a mate, if he knew, or if he didn't know. The case of the count is only referring to the ratio. Weird. I mean, weird conceptually, and a very weird way to read the Mishnah. Very strange. Okay. So, b'chikatanyu manu et atzon vishlema, it's going back only on the ratio. Because if he didn't know, that won't be enough. just and he's aware that he has the same number of sheep. Amar Rava says, Rava, look, I know this sounds crazy, but let me explain the logic of Rivka's disposition. My type in the Rivka's time. He says the problem is once a sheep has been stolen, it is much more likely to get destroyed after you returned. Because Oilvi Ankita Nagre Brayata, once it's learned that there's a world outside of the gate, you can't keep him down on the farm after he's seen broadly.
And he comes
to the sheep. So he's out of there, right? So now the next time he goes to the bar, he gets so drunk, he gets run over by a car. So in that case, if you knew he was missing and then he was returned, so now you know you better take extra special care because you got a bad little sheepy in there somewhere. So therefore you warn, you know, you put out the little tin cans for when he's trying to escape at night. But if you never knew he was missing, you won't be able to watch him properly. And then it's not Ashavas, it's not illogical. Yeah, this is the Gemara. Rava said that? Miyama Rava, assuming that if Rava said that, he must agree with Rapista. He's coming to explain it. I mean, Vama Rava, Rava said that Haima, the Chazava Khavri, the Agba Imrami Idra Dida. You see somebody picking up a sheep from your flock, and you know that he's gonna walk off with it. He starts shouting at it. Varami Bekala, you shout at him. Vishadya, now he puts it down there. You don't know whether he really walked off it in the end or whether he put it back. So you don't know. Ihadre, lohadre. And then it was mate onignav. You're chayav b'achrayutav. You are chayav. I mean, it doesn't say over there whether you counted it or not. So apparently it doesn't matter if you counted it. So my lab, afagav demani, you'd still be chayav b'achrayutav. Because the guy never gave it back to you. But I thought that Rav is saying that as long as you're aware of the fact that something was taken, you know to take precautions that it's not going to wander away or be taken again. So why over here do you say you're fine? Nah, don't jump to conclusions. It's talking about over there, Dolomani. So you assume that the guy really did walk off with it. But Enochinani, if you were Maina, and you also realize that there was apparently something stolen, so then in that case, the din would be, indeed, you would be put, as the Ganav would be put. But getting back to Rav, Rav says, Ladat, you need Da'at. But if there was no Da'at, then Minyan is a Chazor. That's what he said, Minyan Poter. That's what Rav says. If you put back a behemoth into a flock in the outside of the Midbar where it was, you'd be Yotzing. What was that supposed to mean? You'd be Yotzing. I mean, here it's talking about over there. There's neither Das there. There's no Minyan there. It seems to be saying you went over to sheep that were wandering around outdoors. You picked one up, took it home, had pangs of conscience, put it back. Everything's okay. How can everything be okay? Omer of Chanan Bar Abba, Moder Rav. Rav is Moder in a case. Berakuata. If we're talking about a sheep that is marked in a very particular way. So this Tzle has got big, big splotches of colors on it. And it's very clear that to the Roe, if it's missing, it's very clear that it's been returned. So in that case, there for sure, even without Minyan, he is well aware of the fact that it's back. And he's aware of the fact that it was stolen. So even if we would be worried about that issue, it's not a problem because this becomes Da'at completely. Now, Amr of Chanan Bar Abba, I'm sorry, Lema Ketanoi. This whole machlokas that we've had over here, the four approaches. Actually, there's a machlokas tanoim about this. Hagonev tle min ha'eder. Somebody steals a tle from a flock. Or he steals a coin from a wallet. And then he says, Rabbi Yishmael, lemakom sheganav yachzir. Put it back from where you took it. Rabbi Akiva imar. No, you can't do that. Sarich da'at ba'alim. Now, of course, this isn't telling us whether he needs counting, whether he knew. So let's try to figure it out. Savrua, the Gemara assumes that Tekule Alma Itad Rabbi Yitzchak. Everyone holds of Rabbi Yitzchak's Yisod. Rabbi Yitzchak said, and this is a sugya about Metziah that's Nageya the Din of Aveda. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Adam Asui Lamashmesh Bekiso Bechol Sha'a. People generally like to look and count their money. So they take their wallet out and they look through it to see how much they have. Therefore, that means that the owners have immediately discovered that money is missing. And when you return that money, you can assume that they've discovered that the money was returned. Therefore, a way to understand the machlokas here is like this. When we're talking about the seller, I mean, there's two cases. We'll have to read those two cases as representing two issues. Well, let's take the seller first. Seller from the wallet. So, my love, the seller is referring to ladat. The owner knew, and they're arguing about when the owner knows that it was returned with a minyan, that that's enough. So the argument is the argument of Rav and Shmuel, whether ladat tzarigdat, or even ladat minyan is paiter, correct? That's exactly the case here. What about the teleh? The teleh case must be shalom ladat. And that machlokas is the machlokas of Rav Chista and Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yishmael, who says you can just put it back, he holds you don't even need minyan, obviously. So that means that he's holding exactly like Rav Yochanan. If the guy never knew, what he didn't know can't hurt him. Masha Inkein, over here, the other Shita is telling us that, on the contrary, since if you don't know that something was stolen, you need to find out that it was stolen in order to watch it properly. A teleh is not the same as a seller. The seller doesn't have a tendency to wander off once it's been stolen, but a teleh does. And therefore, in this case, we're talking about the teleh, it's not enough that he knows that it's there, he's got to be told to watch it. So there we have, basically, machlokas, tanoim, about all the issues of the shitas that we just brought up, right? Omer v'zvit b'shmei d'rava, wrong. Actually, there's different gears that Rashi brings here, which makes it makes sense. If we'd be talking about a ganav who walked away from an owner's, a typical case that the machlokas before was dealing with, nobody would have argued, everybody holds, you gotta tell the guy, because otherwise he won't know to watch it. But what we're talking about is hacha v'shomer sheganav mirushuto. The shomer is as intense to keep this tleh, and he's pretending that it was stolen. Now he wants to return it himself. So he's got pangs of conscience. So he says, oh, Baruch Hashem, we found it. Now the problem is, was it returned to the Baalim? Because the question is, the moment that he lied, basically, and he said that it was returned, it was stolen, at that point, he's no longer a shomer, he's a ganav. So how does he suddenly become a shomer again when he puts it back into his rishus? He's no longer acting as the agent of the Baalim, is he? So there was no hashava. Where's the hashava? So there we have a machlokas about a completely different issue, says the Gemara. The machlokas is like this. Rabbi Akiva Savar Kaltalo Shmirato. The moment that he decided to take it, his shmira is finished. And at that point, he has to actually hand it over to the owner. He can't say, I'll take care of it for him. Forget it. We found it. Everything's fine. But Rabbi Shmuel Savar Lo Kaltalo Shmirato. Even though he wasn't reappointed to be a shomer, Lamaisa, if he's still involved in getting it back to the owner, then that's enough of Hashav. If anything happens at this point, then he wasn't hired for as a shomer, and then he would be potter. Now, Minyan Poter, that should be a machlokas tanoim from the following. Lema minyan poter tanoim. Remember, we had a machlokas according to Rav, ladat minyan is not poter. According to Shmuel, ladat minyan is poter. Where do we see that's a machlokas tanoim? Natanya. Hagozel et chaver, somebody stole money from a friend, and he doesn't want to tell him that he stole money. So what he does is, he pays him more than he owes him for something else, without telling him there's more money there. He just hands him more money. He says, thank God I got it back to him. He didn't notice. So there the shaila is like this. One bright that says, Tani Chada, good, you yotze. You got him the money. Tanya Idach lo yotze. Now, making the same assumption, that Kula Yama Ito Dirib Yitzchak, Yama Adam Asuna Mashmesh Bekiso Bechol Sha'av Sha'a. Person always likes to count his money. Assuming that we all agree to that, so my love, actually I found the longer you go without counting the money in your pocket, the more money ends up being in the pocket. Yeah. Very dangerous to count the money in your pocket, because then the bracha is not sure, you know, on the dover that's not summing minayim. So if you want to get along in this life, be careful not to count your money, especially when you don't have any. So, all right, so therefore, what's the machlok? So my love, welcome, I forget. You must be arguing in this. Since it was a minyan, Minyan is poter. Man yomer lo yatsa, so a minyan I don't poter. Apparently the other man yomer holds that it's not enough. You got to tell him. I would say that you could tie it over here that if, in fact, everybody holds like Rabbi Yitzchak, so Yisrael learned Rabbi Yitzchak, could have applied a minyan pater. Everybody would have agreed that if you made a minyan, I mean, I could say that. I just can't prove to me that we have a machlok tanoim. I would say everybody agrees minyan is pater. Maybe goof they're arguing about Rabbi Yitzchak. Is it, in fact, a norm to assume that someone counted his money or not? Or, try the other way, by time we could say, maybe everybody holds a Rabbi Yitzchak. But maybe these two brethren aren't even arguing. Maybe they're talking about two different cases. Lo kasha. Ha, the money for Amala Bikise, and on the money for Amala Yade. Guy's counting out the money, he's paying him, and he puts it in a cash register. There's one case. So if they're looking at me, the guy's going to be counting it. But if Lamaisa, he puts it in a way which stomps the guy's hands, and they don't say that he's also to count it all the time. Or maybe everybody owes the money for Amala Bikise. He throws it into the cash register. The cash register has got all kinds of receipts in it. And the guy's got to count it, but there's other money in there. He doesn't realize it came from me. And so he figures that way I'm covered. So over there, you can't call it a chazara because it's not a minion of what I gave you. It's a minion of the take of the day. And therefore, over there, it's not called minion poter. So one is talking about how to eat, lezer zechrin and bekise. One is talking about there's a lot of money in the cash register besides this money. And one is talking about putting it into a wallet where there's another money that wasn't counted. So how did let Lazarus acronym get so the Maisa? We do not have any reason to assume that we have a machlokes tanoim. Continues the Eilat Mishnah now with the issue of presumptive stolen goods. We began the parak by discussing stolen goods. And at what point an heir has to return stolen goods, or someone who eats something that was stolen goods is chayav. Machlokes with Rav Chista and Rami Bar Chama. Now the question is, do you have a right to buy presumptuously stolen goods? Says the Mishnah, Ein lochim min haro'im. You cannot buy off of a shepherd who's selling at the side of the road. Tzemer, v'chalav, ugdiyim. Sounds very suspicious. This guy's got a little business on the side with some selling somebody else's things. You cannot buy somebody who is a shomer on an orchard. He's got a little stand selling firewood and fruit. Now, how about that? So, not a good idea to stop and buy any of that stuff either. However, remember from the Sunyan Ketuvot that it's the norm for women to make and sell to have money in the house. And this was the standard in Yehuda, it was tzemer. In the Galil, it was pishtan. This, of course, was the big money in the Galil, the textile industry in the Galil. That's how the Arizal made his money, the textile dealer. And agalim basharon, which is, that's the norm. They raise agalim at home, sell them. But if the guy opens up the lapels of his jacket and says, don't let anybody know. I don't care what they're selling. Don't buy it. So the kulam shamru la'atmin asur. People are not going to risk making small pennies on stealing eggs from a chicken coop. It's just not worth the risk. It's just not worth the gain. And because of that, you can buy it. It's something that everybody has. There's no reason to assume that you're dealing with stolen goods. Turn around on looking naroim, loizim, velogidim, velogizim, nor now balls of wool. Velo tulushim shotemer. Tulushim are just little tufts of wool that may have picked up places where some of the wool was caught on a branch or something. But all of that belongs to the owner. Avalokhimi and tfurim. If there's a full baghead, even if you think that they stole the wool, doesn't matter. They were kona machinery. So you can buy it. Vilokhim shalahim. Velokhimi and chalabu gvina ba midubar. If you're in a wilderness where it's not the norm for the owner to come schlepping out 40 miles to get the day's milk or cheese, over there you can buy from them, but not in the Yishuv, because over there the owner is going to be coming by to pick it up. Velokimim, you can also buy a lot of things, say 4 or 5 sheep. The Gemara's going to say, what do you mean 4 or 5? Is it 4 or 5? Or 4 or 5 gizim, but not 2 sheep or 2 gizim, which Gemara's going to say, now wait a minute, below 4, last I heard, comes 3, and now you're going to 2. So what happened to 3? Now you're saying 2, but 3, yes. But you said 4, but 3, no. What are we going to do about that? Okay, those questions the Gemara will address. Rabbi Yudomer, actually it depends. By tot lokhimeh. The type of animals that come in at night and they live in a barn, so then you could buy from them because if they were missing, these guys are going to have to answer for what happened to them. Midbariot, but some that are left out for the whole season, out in the wilderness to graze, that ain't lokhimeh. It's too easy to just One of the tzon disappeared. Kolor shel davar. Look, the general rule is, well, we have to sit here and belabor this. Kol sharo eb mocher ubalabait margish. Anything that the owner is going to be suspicious about, that you're allowed to buy. But anything that a ro'ek could sell that the owner won't be suspicious about, ein margish bo, ein lo kimim, that's the klal. Now, you just contradicted yourself. You said, lo kimim arba v'chamishat son, arba v'chamishat gizin. First of all, I understand how you could ever say four or five. I mean, if you could buy four, then of course you can buy five. So why say four or five? Just say four. So hashti yeshomer arba azivin. So chamishami boy. Omrav Kisna, you missed the whole point. Arba v'chamisha zvin. Arba or chamisha. It means you could buy almost the whole thing. Where over there, it's crazy to think he's going to be selling his something. He's going to have to answer for like four-fifths of the flock. It's ridiculous. So it means arba mito chamisha. Or some say that, even that, that's exaggerated. Omrav Kisna, what it means is four. If he's got a small flock, and four will be very visible. Chamesh mi edekato. But how about the other contradiction? Agufakash. First you say four or five. Four or five tzon, four or five gizim, which is mashma. You could buy only four or five, right? But not three. And then read the next words, man. Ema seifa. But not two. Okay, but three, yes. How do you explain that? Lokash, well, obviously, I mean, it's gufa saying it in this way to let us understand that the context is very important. Haba briyata, haba kichshita. If you've got something that looks really good, valuable, there the balabayit is going to notice even three missing. That's why it says two. Something that's a scrawny thing that he doesn't really care all that much about is going to be looking, where's my prize-winning scrawny wool? I mean, that's not going to look good. So over there, hafinami. There, he won't notice it, even if it's a so it depends, therefore, the case depends if he's going to be margish, even bisholesh, then two. If he's not going to be margish until it's arba, so then you can't rely on him as being margish. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda says, by tot lochimim, mit bariot en lochimim. Now, I'm not sure what Rabbi Yehuda is referring to. Rabbi Yehuda, was he going on the Reisha, and therefore he's being machmer, or he's going on the Seifa, he's being Mekel? In other words, how do we read it? A Reisha koyev lochumra, that you said, you're allowed to buy four or five tzon, right? So, comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says, well, now wait a minute. You're allowed to buy four or five tzon. If they are the type of tzon that live in the barn at night, because then obviously the owner is going to notice right away. But if they're midbariot, you can't even buy four or five. Then he's being very machmer. Or did he mean to say it on the other way around? He was talking about the seifa. He was being makim. The seifa says, but you can't buy two tzon and two gizim. Come along, Rabbi Yehuda, to say, well, no, that's not always true. I mean, that's only baitot. The baitot you could buy. So animilimid bariot, but by tot even shtayim would be noticed. So which way was Rabbi Yehuda attending? Tashma v'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer lokhin by tot mehem ve'ein lokhin mehemid bariot u'bechol makom. But you'd always be able to buy four or five. So Rabbi Yehuda omer bechol makom. He's saying you can always buy four or five. It appears that when he was distinguishing between the by tot and the mid bariot, he was coming to be mekel on the two, and he was saying, yeah, it's true, you can't buy two, but that's only if they're midborio. But if they're baitot, and he would notice, so then it would be okay, which means being making. So, shmamina, seifakai, ulakula, shmamina.